Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky indulge in a classic value-priced Tempranillo from Toro in Spain in the Teso Limonia Romanico. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the Unlicensed Tax Driver.
Good evening. It's great to be here.
I'm also joined by the head joke writer, the writer of the show. She writes all the jokes, Scott. It is the Triple B. Oh, she doesn't want anybody to know that. No, she doesn't.
Well,
you know. Okay. The ones that are written, she writes them. How's that sound? Yes.
I think the ones that are written?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are written, she writes.
Yes, that's right.
Well, no, there's some writing that I've seen you do.
Well, those are drawings. That's not. Well, those are jokes. Maybe she drew them. I don't know. My name is Simon, and I like to do drawings. Oh, but Simon didn't draw like that.
I hope not.
Well, not too differently, but it was, you know, whatever. On tonight's show, folks, we have a special wine. Something from Scott and I's past. I don't know if Becky's had it, although it's kind of, I failed her not having her drink this because it's something that she probably really, really, really like. It is from Spain. It is from Toro. Scott, do you know something else that's from Spain? Toro in Spain?
Mm-hmm.
Something very special.
Yes.
Do you?
Maybe.
They can't hear you because you're not on mic. But
I should know this. I should know.
You
this
should. It's up on that board somewhere.
It fell down. I think it's fallen down. That's what I was looking for because I know where it is on the wall and it's escaped me. I want to say Trefethin, but that's not right.
Trefethin?
California.
It's right behind me.
It's
Guinness?
The term is?
Well, Numanthia.
Numanthia. How dare you take Numanthia down?
It
to the
fell.
Wall of
it's called gravity. But Numanthia brought Toro to the greater good. They really exposed in a good way. And in 1998, the beauty of Toro. Now, something is interesting about this wine. The founding family of Numanthia was the Guergen family, Eguren. Well, they sold Numanthia in 2007. To Hennessy. So it's owned by a big corporation. But you know what they founded in 2007? Romanico. They founded, yes, Tessale Monho.
Is the Numanthia, Monhe. Was what? Numanthia owned by the Numanthia family?
No, it's the Weirgen family.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
And
so
then
they didn't name the winery after themselves.
No, they did not, wisely. Because, well, Weirgen, whatever. But Weirgen family, they also do something called Protocollo. Yeah, Sierra, what is it, Cantabria as well. That's the main lane and the main level.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So all those wines, this is under the Toro.
No wonder Protocollo's.
Yeah.
A fave.
Yeah, yeah.
A friend of the show.
It has DNA, well, mental DNA between the two. I mean, Numanthia is Tempranillo. Romanico is Tempranillo. But Romanico's even closer to Protocollo because Protocollo is kind of like a whatever. Mm-hmm. This is really what they're doing to try to... This is more like what they're doing out towards the Termes. Because Numanthia is, well, $50 to $70, depending on the vintage. They have a higher level of this in the $30 to $40 range. It starts with an A, but Almarez or something like that,
something
I believe.
Something like that.
Yeah. And so...
Did you realize, before researching Romanico for this episode, that the Eguren family made Romanico and Protocollo? Or did you just find that out?
No, I knew that.
Today? Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't you ever tell us?
I think he's withholding.
Because it's called a secret.
It's called a secret.
Romanico comes in about...
Who sings that song? Someone's Got a Secret.
Ooh. I don't... was it... it's a woman, right?
I know.
Madonna?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think it was Madonna.
I was going to say Janet Jackson right off
Which song? Dirty Secret? What's
it? No.
What?
I think it was from the one where she was like the sex one.
Yeah.
But what's the song Secret?
I don't know what it was.
It's a raunchy music video.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. With like a 47-year-old Madonna in it. What is she, 80 now?
It's just called Secret.
She's still an attractive woman. Don't be so judgy.
Never really was.
Secret.
I like Lucky Star. That's a pretty good track.
Oh, yeah?
You can be my holiday. I like those songs. Those are nice and bouncy and fun. You know, I'll play those.
Madonna,
not even ironically.
The holiday song, we always start holiday. Vacation with that song.
Yes, it will be all right. You can take it holiday. Come on. But I didn't like Vogue. I didn't like like
Vogue,
a virgin.
Vogue,
no,
Vogue,
I didn't like Vogue, any of those things. Vogue. Although she always wore like a, well, it didn't matter. The music video always perplexed me as a child. Is she naked? No, she's just wearing a flesh-colored shirt. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's her
back
sixth
away
studio
from
album.
Madonna.
Okay. Yeah. So, this wine, the Tessa La Monia Romanico. 100%, well, what are they? It's Tinta de Toro, but it's Tempranillo. Okay?
So, why do they say that?
That's what it's called there.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Then why don't they just call it that? So, wait. I mean, those are both nice names.
Because Tempranillo is something, it is the classic name. It's just what they adopted in that region. It wouldn't make sense. Something make much sense to call something Tinta de Toro in Rioja.
Yeah, it's
or Casa Castillo because it's not or Reputa de Duero.
And
or,
I think there's a vintage, there's a varietal of white wine.
Something
that
we've
they
seen that, yeah.
That they do similar. They call it their own little name. They do.
You got this at Jungle Gems.
Yes,
mm-hmm. But it is available on wine.com, and it's about $17.
I hadn't seen it anywhere here,
yeah.
Since we had it.
Oh,
Giant
cool.
Eagle sometimes has it. The marketplaces, not the small ones, the big ones.
The good ones.
Better wine shops will have something like this, but it's sub 20. So anywhere below 20 is where this wine lives. It used to be, we used to buy it at 14, 15 bucks, but it's more expensive than that. Now it's in the higher teens, but still, good price. So folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Romanica. Well, Tessa La Monia Romanica. But we'll just call it Romanica. We know.
Why not?
There are some reviews. And the Triple B, I'm going to throw it over to the Triple B. Well, actually, we have a spec sheet. Just to give you a little bit of...
You gave us like five sheets.
There's lots of information. It is 100% Tempranillo. I'm assuming it's on oak, but they don't tell us.
It is French oak. It's on the back of the label.
Aha! French oak. Not surprising. It's not going to be on American oak and Toro. 100% destemmed though, Scott. Did you know that?
Well, I didn't know that.
French oak barrels in a tank. Aged 6 months in French oak barrels. So, what are the reviews, Triple B?
Well, let me just shuffle through all this paper.
I know. Well, there's a review. Lots
from
of
Venice.
Reviews. Everybody wanted to read it. Yes, there's multiple ones.
Okay.
Unless you want me to do it.
So Venice gave it a 92. Brilliant violet. It's really dark. I don't know that I would say violet.
They mean on the nose or?
Oh, I don't know. Let's smell.
Maybe they do. Violet would be an unusual color for a wine, I suppose. It's very purple and light.
Wow.
I would not drink anything that looked like violet.
It does have an interesting nose.
Yeah, it would have been treated with a bath bomb before.
Well,
don't drink that.
Well.
Fresh black and blue fruits, vanilla, allspice, and a hint
nice
of cola on the perfumed nose.
I did the cola, yes.
Yeah. Complemented by a floral nuance. Silky and appealingly sweet. Offering juicy boysenberry and cherry compote flavors and a spicy touch of white pepper. show strong energy on the gently tannic finish, which leaves lavender and spice cake notes behind.
Mm-hmm.
James Suckling gave it a 91.
That's correct, I did.
Plum and berry aromas with chocolate and lavender follow through to a medium to full body, round tannins, and a fruity finish. Shows harmony and some freshness with citrus undertones.
Point of order. Why do they always say medium to full body? That's like, okay, it's red. You don't actually say anything. It's medium to full.
Just make a commitment. What is the body?
Mr. Suckling, allegedly, you are master sommelier. You should be able to determine what the body of a wine is, just to point that out.
It's medium to full.
That's not, no.
And you can drink or hold it.
He can hold his dick.
Jeff Dunnett gave this a 90. A year-in, year-out value. The 2018 Romanico is all tinted de Toro, brought up in used French oak. There we go again. This charming fruit-forward, yet surprisingly elegant red, has lots of spicy red and black fruits, peppery herb, and graphite aromatics to go with medium-bodied richness on the palate.
And ironically, there's one more review, but I didn't print it off for Becky. That's right. It's Wilford.
Hey, Wilford. Hi. How are you?
I wondered why you didn't care about my reading Suckling.
I know. Well, who cares about his ass? He's yesterday's news. I'm today. And I reviewed this wine. I really did. I gave it 90 of my points. And I... You know what they did, Scott?
What'd they do?
They put my diary in the damn commentary. Damn it.
What?
Yes. Oh. I prefer the sting of a... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading from my diary. I'll try again. Here it is. Yes. The 18 Tessalamagna Romanico is an upfront example of a ready-to-drink from Toro. Tasty notes. This wine offers rich, heady aromas and flavors of red and black fruit with a touch of oak and savory spices. Pair it with a flavorful, well-spiced curry chicken over balsami rice.
Over what rices?
Basmati rice. You know what I did before I drank this wine, Scott?
What'd you do?
I drank a whole tub of toilet bowl cleaner. It helps my palate. That's why I thought curry chicken would be a good tasting. Normally, I eat P.F. Chang's, and that's my fancy meal, or Mark Pies, because I like sodium. Lots of sodium. My doctor said, lower your sodium intake, Wilford. And I said, no. Now I have 3 shakers a day. I just snort it.
Okay.
Or is that cocaine? I never can remember. Which one is nice and soft and powdery, Scott?
Probably the MSG.
Oh, No, that's the cocaine. Yeah, use... What denomination of bill do you use to snort yours? Just question.
My MSG?
Stay
away from the MSG, sir.
I spent all my money on cocaine, so I have to use a dollar. So, anyway.
Moving on.
Okay.
Allegedly, in my opinion.
There's no proof of that.
Okay. All right, on the nose.
Yes, on the nose.
What glass are we drinking this out of?
Old World Syrah glasses, which are the closest emulation I have to Tempranillo glasses.
I can't believe you don't own Tempranillo glasses.
I can't believe that I can't find them. Trust me, every 5 days I look up Riedel Tempranillo glasses to no avail. I don't think that they make them anymore.
I thought that the Tempranillo glasses were more cab glass-like.
No. They actually are just a little bit more tapered than this. A little bit. But the Old World Syrah glasses are very, very versatile for Syrah, Mavedre, Côte d'Aron, anything in Spain, this is your ticket.
And we, as a reminder, we decided whenever we do... blind taste testings, our guessing games and stuff, we're going to use these glasses, right?
New World.
Oh, my God.
This is the Old World.
This show's gotten way too pretentious.
What?
Which part? Because last week's ending that you wrote, that was not pretentious.
No.
That slightly I wrote? Less.
The squirrels didn't think so, anyway.
No.
Okay. On the nose.
Okay. Yes. On the nose.
Blue fruit?
Definitely blue fruit. Vanilla. Just a touch, though. Mm-hmm. Not too much. Just a little bit.
And maybe a little, like, kiss of mint?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not... there. You know what? It's mint. It's not lavender. It's not violet. It's mint. Yeah. Mint and vanilla.
Yeah, and I think... I suppose, you know, my ADD, I already forgot what it was red that it was lavender, and maybe I would have gone for lavender if I'd remembered that. But ADD came in, and it's mint. I get.
Yeah, and it's also a little bit of a sweet cherry.
There was something on the notes about a cola nose. I can smell that.
I smelled it my first whiff. It's there. It's back in the background. I smelled a little more on.
It's more of a like an old school cola.
Yeah,
this is such a pleasant nose.
It is.
And all the things we're pulling out of it are all very subtle. Nothing overpowers the other.
No.
It's just delicious. I just wish I had some basmati rice and curry.
That's right.
I wish we had done Scores of Integrity.
Damn it.
I tasted it too.
Well, you always cheat anyway. All right. Here we go. That's just a lovely, tasty, perfect example of Tempranillo. That's Tempranillo to the T. The difference between this and Numanthia is size. Numanthia is a little bit more guttural, a little more, I just hit you with a wiffle ball bat in the nuts kind of thing. This is a lot more like a really wonderful Protocolo. Like, the Protocolo's in the good years, not the bad years, the good years. Times five.
This is so easy to drink.
Absolutely.
I almost defy you to find a red wine that's easier to drink than this. Remember, if it's scale at a 10, this has to be like 9.8.
Remember Via Cafaggio?
Yeah.
We love that. This has that similar that similar mouthfeel, that similar drinking style. I mean, it just makes you want to bring the glass back up.
What was the first thing that you were like, oh, this is lovely about it?
I love the oaking, and I think, well, subtly, the oak is present as soon as it hits your palate. Oh, very subtly. And it's subtle all throughout. I think there's a little peppery finish, but other than that, this is just really subtly done with the oaking, and it's beautiful.
What I love about it is the cool red fruits on the front palate, and it's backed up by a linear mineral note that is never over the top. It's there, adding a little more depth to the fruit. I love the front palate fruit. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just like great. It's just gravy from there on. You know, if I am going to be serving wine to people I've never met before, but I know they drink wine, and I'm not trying to look at what I've got. This is a real strong contender for that, because this is going to impress everybody that drinks red wine.
If you're a red wine drinker, you're going to find this appealing, easy to drink, and just appreciate.
Maybe not the camest drinker, but then again,
I don't know.
They'll have to put the pack of menthols down. So.
Easy.
What? Oh, did I say that out loud?
You did.
Whatever. There's a lot of people smoke when they drink wine.
This is just something that everybody's going to enjoy. If you like red wine. Now, if you're drinking manipulated sugar bomb purple death stuff, then you're going to go,
I just said that. Oh, you're making that connection. I'm not.
For me, the standout immediately was the tannins.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love tannins anyways, but I just think it's such a lasting, the tannins last after you're finished drinking it. It's so good. I also, through the finish, Scott mentioned it, the oaking lends itself to that white pepper at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, I think that's something that like you wouldn't necessarily, a beginning wine drinker wouldn't necessarily know that's what white pepper is in wine. But once you notice it, like get this wine, drink it, you'll notice it at the end. And then every time after you have it, it is such a treat to notice.
And I think there's certain characteristics in wine that aren't easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
White pepper is just one distinction. But once you've seen it once, you've got an example of it, then you know.
Yep.
And folks, you know, try these wines. Grab a bottle, drink them along with the episode, see what you see. Look for that white pepper in Romanico with us.
And it's almost, if I'm describing it, it's almost like a prickly, sparkly thing on your palate at the end. That's how it tastes to me. And I also really like
the tannic structure of this wine. If I used one word to talk about the tannins, I would say they're round.
Please don't say it that way, because it makes me want to just run away. No, you're just...
Run away! Run away!
I don't even like it when you talk that way.
Oh, it's quite ferocious. It's got big fangs and everything. A rabbit? Oh, it's quite ferocious.
You're going to have to put the footnote. What the fuck were you just talking about?
Monty Python.
Oh, okay. There we go.
In the battle scene.
Oh, okay. It's been a while.
I'm very old.
Well, yeah. I mean, you were 60 when you saw that for the first time in the theater. So...
Time passages.
What I like about this wine, though, and I've said this about every wine, well, virtually every wine I've ever really liked like this, it feels alive. It's vibrant. It isn't weighty. It doesn't have a bad note. If you like, I mean, you have to like Tempranillo, blah, 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 whatever. But say you do, which you should. If you drink red wine and you like red wine, Tempranillo should be something you drink. It's just as it's a standard. It's something you should drink. But beyond that, this wine doesn't have a bad note within Tempranillo. Everything is well done. It's well crafted. It's not overstated. It's a beautiful drink from A to B. Is it ageable? No. Is it collectible? Not really. But is it extremely buyable and drinkable? Absolutely. You know what it's brethren. I mean, in Spain, there are a few. Let's name a few that we can think of off the top. Obviously, Romanico. Volver is another.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Termes from Numantia. In this price range, mind you.
I forgot about that wine.
Camblau.
It has that funny cattle-looking thing on
the
front,
yeah, it's a bowl-looking thing.
That's so good. What's we've that? Had that forever.
Yeah. Well, Monastrell's, yes. Terramahill. Mm-hmm.
I had a nice pour... from a local, from Kenny at Wings. He had a bottle of Juan Heel that he was trying.
Well, that's a little more expensive, but yeah, that's good. Casa Castillo.
Mm-hmm. We love that.
Yeah, we like that. Monastrell, though.
Even nondescript Spanish producers are doing a hell of a job. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you can't go wrong.
You know some producers I've never really drank much of? One is Bean Torres. We did Torres. We drank it in Canary Islands. But we've not done a lot of Torres. Lan. I've never been a big fan of L-A-N. All capitalized Lan. Never been a big fan of anything they've ever done.
Barcelona used to carry a lot of the Torres.
Yeah.
When we would go there for the Sunday night little jazz thing, and was retail wine prices, half off their regular prices, what it was actually.
You got a little plastic bowl to play with.
As
a charm on the bottle.
We went through their whole collection of tours. Mm-hmm. They must have had 8, 9, 10 different designations.
Well, Faustino? Remember Faustino 1, 2, 3?
With the F-A-U-S-T-I-N?
Yeah, is it Faustino or Faustino? Faustino. Whatever. Never really done much of that. It's been around for a long time. I don't know that I've ever had it once. It has a little bit too much. It looks like you would need to be wearing a cape to drink it. So, you know, I don't have a cape. I could borrow one of William's capes and drink it.
You wear his capes all the time.
Well, I know, but it's like, I would drink that wine, but I'd have to put on a cape first. Why, sir? I have no idea. I just would have to wear a cape to drink that. And like long white gloves. For no particular reason.
Go up to your elbows.
Well, wearing a t-shirt, long white gloves, and a cape. Because you're a bit of a douche, but still, you know. Mm-hmm. Faustino. Did you drink Faustino 1 or 2? I drank Faustino 4. Oh, si, senor.
Yes.
I better stop there. It's going a little bit too.
Well.
Censoring myself.
As an aside, really quick, Bo just walked past us.
Yes.
And Scott, I have a funny story to tell you. So William's best friend in the whole world's named Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
And they love each other. And William said, he's always like, me and Sammy this, me and Sammy that. Like, that's just his whole life. So he was telling us something about him and Sam, and then he goes, me and Sammy are like Scott and Bo.
William even knows.
It was so cute. He was really like really pleased with himself for that, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. I was out mowing today and Bo was just galloping in the backyard chasing birds. It was such joy. Mm-hmm. Such like dumb joy. I chased him a little bit with a mower for fun, cackling. He'd look over his shoulder while he's running, you know. I couldn't catch him, of course. But he came back inside and just, like, passed out.
He opened the door himself and went laid in his bed.
He was snoring.
Yeah.
It's just too much running for you, Bobo.
It was just a glorious day here on Central High. We had started off gray and overcast, like, it's going to rain.
It's too fucking windy.
It was awesome.
But it was still better than what we thought it was going to be.
I know, but it was windy. Pissed me off.
Yeah.
So. Let's go around the table.
What?
Yeah, I need some descriptors.
Yep.
Okay. Tannic.
Beautifully, subtly oaked with that white pepper finish.
Just, okay. Bright cherry fruit. Red fruit. Was the primaries. We're on to the secondaries.
I was trying to see if I got the cola that you can get in the nose on the palate. I don't think I get it.
There is something dancing around there towards that kind of an earthy spice, maybe.
There is an earthy spice.
Maybe.
There's a little bit of black licorice way back in the back. But that's at the same time, you're experiencing, is that nutmeg?
That's where I was at.
Baking spices, sort of.
Not as sharp as clove.
No.
But like a
nutmeg kind of.
Like a, not a fresh scraped nutmeg where it's sharp, but like a.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your grandmother's tin of McCormick that's been in the shelf for 2 decades. Softness.
Well, you know what they said? Spice cake. But who said that? I didn't say it. I know.
It was Dunnick, right?
That sounds like a Jeb Dunnick.
It would be because it would be the correct thing. Spice cake.
He's got beautiful hair.
He is a handsome man.
He's a handsome man. He's got nice hair.
He was an engineer for NASA.
He was a smart man, too.
The rest of these fuckers weren't shit. What's that?
Is the texture of the wine.
Yes.
It almost has a chalkiness to it.
On the finish. Yeah. From the soils.
It kind of comes in at the mid palate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could sound negative, but it's not in the texture of this wine.
It's an element of the wine.
Yeah.
It's just. Some wines have a different mouthfeel than others, and sometimes that texture is likely the reason that we're tasting it the way we are.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it just adds some depth to it. I mean, we often, when you're doing certain whites, you'll get like an oily mouthfeel. This, to me, has a little bit of a chalky mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderfully crafted, wonderfully done. It's a shock that Becky didn't know about this wine. I should have told her. I told her, but I never told her about the Numanthia connection, did I?
I don't know if you ever told me about this.
I knew about
the
Numanthia
connection. I've been on record with the Percola Numanthia connection.
But not the Romanico.
Not the Romanico. But I did know that. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back with the finest potpourri here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, On tonight's potpourri, I am going to ask the crew, the show, the dais, create me the perfect dish to go along with Romanico.
We've been doing a little bit of this lately, haven't
we? It's a simple potpourri, but it makes sense.
Rebecca hates when she gets put on the spot like this. She likes to
I haven't asked her yet. You're probably going to say Swedish meatballs with some fucking... You know, Jesus Christ. It's a gravy. God.
Swedish meatballs are delicious.
I'm not asking for something that's esoteric that doesn't exist. That basically is, I went out and I had a dinner. We had drinks, we had appetizers, whatnot. Then we had dinner. Then afterwards, I drank too much and I vomited. I don't want that meal that you just made with the Swedish meatballs and the fucking ravioli. No. I want a real dish. Okay? Not that, not the other stuff.
What night of the week was this for you?
Jesus Christ. Anyway. That you...
My mind immediately went to something with tomatoes, but I can't get any further than that.
I would like that. I think when I think of something with tomatoes, I think of something a little acidic.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be brilliant with this wine. Mm-hmm. I think it would draw the subtleties out a little more. Off air, we had talked about different flavor profiles. I think there's a little bit of Baker's chocolate in this wine as well.
Well, I think when you're talking about the tannins, the way the tannins come in, you see that naturally right there, right in that mid palate.
Yes, with that thing we described as nutmeg.
I wonder with a year if a little tobacco might show right there too.
Wouldn't that be special?
I don't know. There's little nods there. I'm not comfortable in saying there's tobacco because it just isn't there yet. But with a year, there might be tobacco.
All right, so do the meal.
I agree with you. Remember last night we went to Del Mar restaurant in Columbus. And
how was that, by the way?
Anyway, Becky got... It was good. Becky got... you got halibut. But you remember those candied tomatoes? Basically, they were those one things that you said they were so sweet. Those were tomatoes.
No, they were not. They were raisins.
Those were tomatoes.
They were raisins.
Pretty sure. I thought they were tomatoes. Well, forget that. Anyway, they tasted like tomatoes to me. Nevertheless,
they were cooked like a tomato.
What was the problem with Del Mar?
Let's big fucking raisins. No. We're doing this meal. Then we'll get to that. There wasn't a problem with Del Mar, other than their wine selections are terrible. But that's okay.
Well,
they heard about that.
You want wine? You got to go to.
Well, that's whatever. But jeez. I'm seeing with this, there's a couple different ways you go.
Halibut, Marcona almonds, golden raisins.
That was something different, I'm sure.
That's what those were. And then a citrus chili relish.
Ridiculous. And in the relish, raisins. There were tomatoes that tasted like raisins, apparently.
I mean, there could have been some tomatoes in the citrus chili
relish. Some big
relish,
fucking raisins. Like that's a big ass raisin.
Citrus.
The size of a tomato.
They were the size of a cherry tomato.
Yeah,
they were very, very. They were raisins for sure.
I'll bet they're made from scratch. I'll bet they raisined grapes to make that dish in house. I'll bet they raisined grapes to make that dish, and
very,
that's why
very,
they were
very
big.
Good. It was a very complex raisin.
All of our food was amazing. My first cocktail was outstanding.
How about your second?
At the end, I got a ranch water, and it was
a who water?
She ordered a ranch water, and the guy goes, "Is that like tequila and soda?" So he brought out a drink that was something that you would drink at, not to besmirch this restaurant, but...
Burger King make cocktails, that's what it tastes
like.
What is a ranch water?
We've talked about this, haven't we?
So is that the drink you guys drank?
It's tequila, Topo Chico, and lime.
I didn't realize they called that ranch water.
At El Segundo, they make it with like other spices, and it's such a great like fresh tasting drink. This was straight up something Burger King made.
This was.
What did you say?
Well, this was one of those things where you'd say to the bartender, "Are you sure?" Oh yeah, I'll drink. It's something that a 70-year-old drunk would drink at a bar. You just put a little like the little red straw out of it and call it a day. I mean, if you're at a all you can eat buffet and they have a wet bar, but it's all pre-made, a little tequila, it just spits out.
It sounds like they didn't know what a ranch water was.
Well, they didn't know what whatever that was.
The bartender didn't know.
That's
especially with El Segundo across the street making ranch water.
Let me be frank. If it were the Guildhouse, they would have dressed that shit up and put a bow tie on it. What they did there. Was not.
He didn't even put it on our bill. It was really bad.
He just sat on it. It was bad. That shouldn't go out of that restaurant. But that's okay.
It was shocking.
What was your
bad.
First cocktail?
It was called the Almost Famous. And I forget what all was in it. It had Aperol
in it. Oh, I love Aperol in a cocktail.
It was really nice. It was like a tiny bit. I don't know. I was like, I don't want a sweet cocktail. And he was like, oh, try this. And it almost had, the rim of it was almost like a Bloody Mary salt. A
little bit.
With like the red and the, you know what I'm talking about?
But sometimes they'll put a little sugar in that too.
Yeah, it was like the red and black and white, like a Bloody Mary. That is what it reminded me of.
A little bit of smokiness. Nice.
Yeah, some people take some bay seasoning and use that to rim a glass, and that gives you that different profile, but
it was really, really good. It wasn't sweet. I just pulled the menu up to prove that that was raisins.
You know what I love sometimes in a cocktail? Aperol's good. It just, but a Pimm's cocktail. I just love a Pimm's cocktail. Every once in a while, just a Pimm's cocktail.
I had an Albarino.
This was
an Alsatian Riesling.
I don't know what Espolon Reposado. I don't know what that is. Aperol,
Spanish
Mezcal, Dry Curacao, and Ruby Red Grapefruit. It was very good.
That's tasty.
It was really, really good.
It seems like that night we all went, somebody had that.
I think we had wine. I don't think I had any cocktails.
Okay. Love Block.
But it wouldn't surprise me if someone had gotten it. I feel like Steve got a drink that was in a pineapple.
Yeah.
That would be Steve.
We had Zan and Petit Sirah. They did the wines. They had Love Block, Pinot Noir, and they had Zan and Petit Sirah. They didn't have any of that shit.
They did have Numanthia, though.
They did. Bottle price. It was like $60, which isn't bad for Termes. But, you know, I had, like I said, an Albarino and then an Alsatian Riesling.
Where in Nelson Town are you going to get those options?
Well, the Albarino is the one, you know, the Aslaxis that's like green.
He was so snobby.
It was shitty. Okay. But it was fine. The Riesling was lovely. Dry. Very dry. But I was doing, we did oysters in the half shell. Shrimp ceviche. I did a shrimp bisque. Arugula salad, and then I did the scallops with a parsnip puree. It was very good. I liked it. They had like some sort of crunchiness, like on the outskirts of the scallops, and that kind of threw me off because when you're eating scallops, even though the scallops weren't like that crunchy, scallops are they saying to my scallops? It was there wasn't saying in the scallops.
I never had that, but I love that crispy texture on a scallop when they get it just right.
The scallops were perfect, but they had like a crunchy, like think of like a I don't know, some sort of seeds on the outside, just
like
crunchy.
Lightly breaded, maybe.
No, there was just a different element to the plate.
The way they had cooked it,
and so something was on it, like sesame seeds or something.
Maybe. But off to the side, so you would get a bit of this, and it would be crunchy. Then you go back to the. It's just some. Don't put crunchy and scallops in the same dish because you think it's
mine. Same. Had that. Mine had that halibut and it had peas, but they were like, peas. Rob said they were wild peas.
They were fresh peas.
Okay, fresh peas. Yeah, well. To me, they tasted more like they had been air fried. Almost like, you know those dried wasabi peas you can get?
Yes, love it.
But it was like that. It was way more like that.
But they weren't completely dehydrated though.
Right. So I was like, these to me taste like they were in an air fryer type.
The best Chex mix ever isn't Chex mix. The best Chex mix ever is the one that has the weird little cheese crunchies. They're like misshapen little sausages, but they have the wasabi peas in with them.
Yeah.
And the sesame sticks. Oh.
I didn't know where you were going with that. It was like that. You just rambled.
Yeah.
Wasabi peas.
It was really good. Rob was anti the texture in his. I was very pro the texture in mine.
It's just one element that I thought was.
And the almonds in it were really, really good.
In yours. No, the halibut was great. If I were going again, I would do the halibut.
You almost ordered the salmon, which I think was a bad idea.
Dub had a.
I was trying to find an excuse to order Pinot.
Dub had a crab. They called it stuffed, but it was really topped. Red snapper. Chilean sea bass. Excuse me. Which has that different texture. And she was like, I'm glad she'd never had the sea bass before.
Oh, really?
She's like, I'm glad I had it. But it has that little. It kind of has like almost a chalky texture about it between the fillet. Between the. When the meat separates into different pieces, there's that little chalkiness about it, which I love. But.
I love a flaky fish.
Yeah,
the halibut was really flaky. I like swordfish a lot. I feel like it's a swordfish can be just as satisfying to me as a steak. I mean, you can.
Well,
your cats.
Sorry for that. There's a weird-ass cat trying to chew through the wall?
Or is that Vladimir Putin coming to your town?
Maybe it is a prisoner tunneling through. Why'd you do that?
I just threw something at the wall to get
attention.
And you
woke up Bobo. Look at him. He's so confused.
Yeah, but I stopped whatever dumbass ferret was over there doing that. So, anyway.
The cats in Nicaragua. Back to the pairing.
As far as we got was tomato.
Well, so.
True. Some sort of acidity.
I fixed my spin as an entree on that egg dish you used to make for Becky.
Still makes.
The tomato egg bake. But I did a full on saute pan.
Yeah, that's the traditional way to do it.
Layered it with tomatoes. And I didn't put the egg in an individual tomato. I just cooked the tomatoes till they were bubbly. And I added cheese over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then added a little balsamic glaze. Uh-huh. And then pocketed the eggs on that. And baked it. I'd have to find a way to get the eggs cooked quicker because it took them too long.
Yeah.
Broiler.
I was thinking, and I thought about that. Well,
I did finish it in the oven.
When you use the what's the thing called you make pancakes on?
Griddle.
Yeah, because the griddle, when you do like eggs in a, what is it called? Eggs in a basket.
Well, eggs in a basket.
Yeah, eggs in a basket. It's in a blanket.
It cooks the egg really well that way. But I don't know how you would do that with tomatoes.
Well, so maybe you could pre-cook the egg a little bit. Like sunny side up it and then put it into the tomatoes. I don't know, but so
you'd have to be a very delicate person to put
that.
Yeah,
but you could do it, I think. You could kind of. I think if you had a little skillet, I think you could do that.
Oh yeah, easy. But back to this wine, I think that tomato egg dish would be fantastic. What mine ended up being.
Well, this wine.
I let it cool. And it all of a sudden, everything solidified. And I could cut it in little pie shapes.
Oh, yeah.
Because the tomato had caramelized on the pan, the bottom of the pan. And it came out almost like slices of pizza.
That's cool.
And the egg was still cooked but soft. You know what I mean? The egg wasn't hard. But the cheese had held the tomatoes all together and sunk down in the bottom of the pan and it caramelized and it was really good.
Yeah, I love that dish. It's a really nice dish.
You know, I've got actually an idea for this one. Do a marinated tri-tip and then you kind of roast it off in a grill, offset, get a little char on the outside, but anyway, you're slicing it on the bias, and as a side, caramelized tomatoes, fresh basil, kind of thrown in with that. And what would be the binder there? I'm thinking.
I don't think you need to bind that.
You could do like a little like wild grain rice or something like that, but I would probably leave it at that. Just toss it in there. Almost make a little marmalade for the side. So you're, and then all you're doing, you have your sliced tri-tip, and then that kind of basil, cherry tomato, marmalade kind of stuff right over top of it, and this.
Yeah. So.
Fresh herbs on top.
Something just popped in my head, too. Anything with bacon jam.
Well, no, that kind of a marmalade kind of thing. Yeah. You could do that. Yeah.
And I think an easy cheat, you can, folks, if you don't know about this, you have to have it in your kitchen. I'm a big fan of Trader Joe's, but you can get it pretty much anywhere now. They make these balsamic glazes, and it's just such an easy cheat to caramelize almost anything.
I feel like balsamic glaze is good on, like, veggies, chicken, like.
If I was eating cereal, I think I would put balsamic glaze on cereal. It's just
so good.
It's just ridiculous. And the Trader Joe's brand is like, it's like $2.29 for a 4 ounce bottle or something.
It's good on bread. It's good on, like you know what points? I mean? Toasted. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
You know, you're going to make Mott's and tomato salad with fresh basil or, here's a twist, with mint and lemon. Oh. But the balsamic glaze drizzled over it. Oh.
So good. It's good on any vegetable you can think of. Any, like a roasted vegetable with balsamic glaze is, it's like instantly elevates it.
Just point this out. I'm going to be doing that tri-tip eventually, you know.
Tri-tip, I think, is an underutilized meat. I mean, it's people know tri-tip for, you know, fajitas and south of the border style cuisine.
Isn't that more a skirt?
But Mexican tri-tip is...
You got to watch out, though. Don't get the prepackaged stuff, because we've gotten those. Those are just over-seasoned. You want to take the tri-tip, a quality tri-tip, and do it yourself. Oh, yeah. Start off with the base.
I think anything pre-seasoned is too much.
Because tri-tips are good cuts of meat for certain things. It's just you can fuck it up by getting those pre-seasoned
stuff. Drew mentioned Trader Joe's, and one of the best pre-seasoned meats I've ever got is a tri-tip I got from Trader Joe's.
Wow.
They do it. They do a tri-tip. They do great carnitas, too, pre-seasoned.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what I'm thinking, and I might do that.
I think,
treat it like a brisket.
Yeah, I think this deserves nice slow-roasted meat.
Yes. Yep. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back with a review here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2018 Romanico Tempranillo from Toro in Spain. We're going to go around the room. We're going to get some accurate scores. What are you surprised about this?
I just wasn't prepared for a number.
I'm ready for a number. I'll go first. Let's change the battle.
Go ahead. I think I know where I am, but go ahead.
So...
303 episodes, or 405.
I know, and I'm like,
don't know what
bad.
We're going to do next.
It surprises me all the time.
Well, she's thinking about the past vacation.
6 years.
She's thinking about a past vacation. She had a nice time with her sister.
True.
The Dominican. And this is, what is not to like about this wine? The only thing you can say...
It's not a 1.5 liter.
That... No, it's not ageable. This not is really. This is a drink now.
Well, within 2-3 years.
Could you hold it? Sure. That's not what this wine's made for. What this wine is made for is to enjoy. I think we kind of messed about talking about what you would pair this with. But I think you could pair this with any slow-roasted meat, and it'd be fantastic. I don't think you'd want to go like a fatty ribeye. I think that would take over the wine a little bit. This is not the biggest, burliest Tempranillo.
Well, it's medium-bodied. And so I would think that... You would lose a little of the nuance. That's not the wine for this. Lamb isn't the wine for this.
No.
No. Like the tri-tip. Like the things that... Yeah. That and you know, you can do all sorts of different things on the side, but I think, like I said, like that, like a marmalade of some kind on top of that, some sort of, you know, lovely... something with acidity.
With acidity.
Yeah.
But this wine, what is not to like about this? Folks, if you're a red wine drinker... We talk all the time about budget and lower priced Spanish wines that you can't go wrong. Forget that. Look this out.
Oh, sure.
Look for Romanico. I'd forgotten about it. And as soon as I saw it on the shelves, I went, oh, yeah, that's coming on the show. Yeah. I can't believe we haven't done it on the show yet.
Well, Rob sent me like 10 different wines, and I was like,
yeah.
But I even said Baron Pichon Longview.
Oh.
Well, but it wasn't going on the show.
It's easy. Wonderfully, beautifully oaked. Mm-hmm. For a $17 wine, this is wonderfully oaked. Trying to think off the top of my head, it's something that's comparable to the level of oak on this. It's just perfect.
I wouldn't change anything about it.
Yeah, there's nothing to change about this wine. It's not ageable. It's not full-bodied. Okay, fine. But this is what it is, and it's beautiful. I'm going to give it a range of 90 to 92, and I'm going 91.
Oh, okay. 91 of
I'm
your
going
points.
91. I don't care that Jeb only gave it 90. I think he's wrong.
Triple B, what is your numerical
score?
Are you
hiding your scores from me?
Yes, because you cheat. By the way,
it's so funny because she's hiding her score, too.
Well, yeah, I already wrote mine down.
I am back. I saw your score.
So you cheated.
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I am not as high as Scott.
Nobody is.
And then I got high. And then I got high. I love this wine.
Some things I love about this wine are, I think it's the chalkiness is like a definite like point up. The tannins point up really, really good. I do think this is super, super drinkable. There's something missing for me in the... Don't make that face.
I wasn't.
There's something missing for me that I don't know what it is to get it to a 90. I feel like I'm stuck at an 89.
Cash payment, perhaps?
I'm at an 89. I think it is a great wine. It honestly might be the body to me that I, if it was a little bit fuller body to me.
That's fair.
That's all that I can like really settle on. But an 89 is a very good score.
Absolutely.
This is a very good wine.
Keep
I would drink
look
it
in the mirror, again. Say that 100 times, and eventually it'll become
go
true.
Go ahead. You no. go ahead. I'm done.
It's fine. That's a fine score.
It is a fine score.
It's fine for you.
You know,
yes.
in different circumstances, you'd be humming or singing a song.
That Northern Advance didn't work out too well for y'all, did it? Anyway, so.
Inappropriate.
I don't know. So, on to me. How do I feel about this wine? First of all, I think the drinkability is off the charts. I enjoy the wine, and it's
he's going to give Robert, this wine a 90. I want you to
Robert,
know that.
This is Dr. Schwartz.
He's going to give this a 90. He gave
this
me so much grief.
Dr.
He rolled
Schwartz,
his eyes.
We want
and he's
going
to give it a 90. One point higher than what I gave it. Can I just tell you?
Emotionally, from your soul, how do you feel about this wine?
Spoiler
from an emotional
alert.
Standpoint. How do you feel about this
if
wine?
If I could take my phone and put it up by the microphone to get... You're changing your score, you butthead.
Well, I wrote my score down before Becky did. So she looked at me to figure out what to do, and she went 1 point lower. It is a 90. What are the detractors about this wine? It's not ageable. Like you said, Scott, it's not ageable, but it's a lovely drink. Uh-huh. It's one of these things where... And I'll be honest, it's an 89 to 91. So I agree with everybody, really. I give Becky a hard time because she deserves it. Because she's done many bad things in her life. Most of the jokes that you hear on here about woodland animals and things like that are Becky's jokes. Isn't it shocking that she writes that shit?
I
feel bad reading it.
You do feel bad reading it.
All Wilford's lines are Becky's. Except the thing about condom fingers. I wrote that one. But still,
that just kind of splayed out.
What? No, I wrote that. I didn't write it. I mean, I just did it. It's for Halloween. What? It's a costume. It's just one hand, though. I don't do two hands, because then I couldn't grip anything because of the slipperiness of the condoms, Scott, because they're lubricated. Anyway.
All celebrity impersonations are for a comedic effect only.
You know,
and with that,
I can't say that,
we hope you have a nice evening.
No, I'm not done yet. So, ageability.
That's it
factor.
Tonight from the...
Nobody asked you. But a lovely drink. Wonderful wine, good balance, good tannin. Everything that you need in a wine is there. It shouldn't be, though. Unlike what Becky said, which is dumb, it shouldn't be bigger. It should be what it is.
Right.
Now, the fact is, some wines, numerically, score-wise, have a cap. And that's fine. Romanico is Romanico. It's a 90 for me. Because it should be this way, though. I don't want it to be a bigger wine. I want it to be Romanico. Because if I want a bigger wine, I'll drink something different. But if I want something to taste like a really great Prodicolo, I'll drink Romanico.
But at the same point, you know, Becky's comments are valid and just...
That is absurd. I reject that on general principle.
She's 1 point below you, sir.
I care 0% about what you think.
I care 0% about you saying that about me.
Oh, Lord.
I won that
point,
one.
The point here is
you don't
we're at a range
points.
Of 2 points. We're at a range of 2 points, similar to the reviewers that were, what, 92 to 90?
I just
oh,
gave
yeah,
it.
I forgot
yeah.
about them, too.
You're 92 right. is a little high, but that's okay.
Okay, that's fine. But I
but it's Venice.
I stand, yeah.
You stand by your 91?
I stand by my 91. I love this.
You're so brave. You're so brave. By the way, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So.
It is the Hall of Fame.
It is a Hall of Fame. It's a Hall of Fame wine. It's a great wine. And
I can't believe we didn't put this on the show sooner than this.
I blame you. Becky, would you drink this again?
Yeah.
Scott, would you drink this again?
Every day of the week and four times on Sunday.
Yes, I know. So would I. Romanico, bravo, and obviously the family, bravo. You went and you made a great wine. Hennessy kind of dicked it up a little bit, but then they've kind of righted the ship realizing they were dicking it up. Because the great Numanthias are pre-2007. They've got it together a little bit since then, especially the last few vintages.
Okay.
They all score well, but that's because of Hennessy giving people money. But still, they went. This is not a big one. You know what, though? I want to try the Alvarez and everything else. Because the I want to see what they do at the higher
Romanico
price.
Step up.
Yes, I wanted to see this step up because I love what this is. And quite frankly, I mean, I love Termes. But Termes is actually about 30, sometimes 20 to 30. And Termes is a heavier, bigger wine than this. It just is.
Yeah.
I like Termes. I like that big brute. And I think it's probably maybe what Becky's referring to.
And I don't know big brute, but I would call it more.
I didn't say that. Don't put those words in my mouth. That's
I'm just explaining what you were thinking.
Mm-hmm. She said, I think she meant bigger body.
You needed me to
like
do
that. Like I said.
You needed me to do that.
I would call Termes not necessarily bigger, broodier, but it's more rustic.
It's bigger.
In style. Yeah. It's a little bigger, for sure. But this is just smooth. This is just crisscrossing and sailing.
Oh my
takes
gosh.
Me away where
truly epic segue by there by Scott. Be. I mean, you just set it up and you spiked it your
bam!
Fucking self. Crisscross. Oh, wow.
Bam.
Oh man, it's nice.
But then we could go, crisscross makes you want to jump.
That's where I thought you were going. I was like,
and
how
you
is
just,
this saying?
You just put it in the shitter right there.
Yeah.
So.
Crisscross will make you.
Yeah. So, bravo, Romanico. Bravo, Tessalamagna.
How many?
Tip of the cap.
Bottles on the Steve Gibson scale.
80.
Could you drink of this?
Steve would fucking flip over this.
How many? We would.
Let's not tell him that it exists because he's still drinking 8 days in the desert. Nobody wants to fucking drink that shit. So,
so if you went on vacation.
Have you guys had this great wine? It's 8 days in the desert. Yeah, I know what that is, Steve. Have you had it? I have respect for myself.
Hey,
so.
Hey.
No, you,
all right.
Not,
let's
wait,
wrap it up.
Have you listened to your Wilford Wong impressions?
Yes. It's a character.
You have
it's different.
No.
That's not me. It's a character.
We're not the same person. When he does this, his mind goes someplace else, and I take over.
So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and a retreating Triple B, we will see you next time, but bid you adieu. Here on the Wine Vault, good night. Thank you.